The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Dear confirmands, graduates, and anyone else paying attention this morning, the life of faith is a life full of questions. I can't begin to tell you how often I hear in the conversation with people, "When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask." As humans, we are created to be curious. Now, for all of you, when you were old enough to ask questions, your parents heard over and over again the question, "Why?" And it didn't matter how many answers they gave you, if they gave you the right answer or the wrong answer, but you would just keep asking, "Why?" Now, a lot of parents might say that you've now hit the point in your life where you believe you know all the answers, and your parents are never right. But someday you will realize that mom and dad are a lot smarter than you give them credit for. This is important for our faith as well. We all ask the question, why? Why of God when bad things happen to us and to others? We may be turned off to the life of faith because some Christians presume to have all the answers. The life of faith may have moments when things seem clear and the presence of God is with you. But more often than not, you may feel like you have a lot of questions and there isn't anyone to dwell in those questions with you. Just people who want to give you a lot of insufficient answers. Today we get to use the disciple Philip as our example of what it means to follow Jesus. Now, if you've only read the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, Philip's statement will sound like a fair statement. Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." In essence, he's asking, "Show us the power of God, and we will be satisfied." Like I said, it sounds like a fair statement. That's until you remember what happened in John chapter 6. John 6 begins with the feeding of the 5,000, and there is this exchange between Jesus and Philip. This is from John chapter 6. When Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." And we know what happens next. Jesus blesses the 5 loaves and 2 fish that a little boy had. Everyone eats to their fill, and each of the disciples walks away with a whole basket full of leftovers. And this isn't the only miraculous thing that Philip has seen. But like most of us, he still wants more. Now, we have a term here at Bethesda that gets used for when we experience the presence of God. It's called a God wink. If you were here last week, you heard a little bit of this too, but here you go. Now, if you want to be cynical about things, you could call all of these things coincidences. But if you listen enough to those who share the God winks, you will begin to see that something else, something greater, is going on. Last week during worship, the Beth men sang a song that began, "Lord, make us instruments of your peace." And during the sermon, I shared a litany in which the congregation responded, "Make us instruments of your peace." This is a God wink. Kermit and I hadn't planned that. The Beth men hadn't planned to sing that song knowing about the shooting in Uvalde. Now, I don't yet necessarily always use that term God wink, but I would say that it's simply the Holy Spirit at work in our midst. Yesterday, during the morning of sharing, Madison had shared that in a car conversation about faith with her mom, they got stuck in traffic. The semi next to them had in bold letters, "Only God knows." That's a God wink. The morning of sharing is on the YouTube channel, and if you didn't get to see it, go to the YouTube channel and watch it, because there's lots of great examples of the young people in our congregation sharing their faith for us. Now, at our best as a congregation, we are lifting up those moments, lifting up the God winks, lifting up the moving of the Spirit, so that we can all recognize the presence of God in this place. Now, confirmants, some of you were baptized here at Bethesda. Some of the people gathered here today were present when the congregation promised to walk alongside you in this journey of faith. This promise to walk alongside you doesn't end with confirmation or graduation. And it's not just the people gathered here that promise to walk alongside you. There is another, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, that promises to walk alongside you on this journey. You will have times in your faith that the stuff of God will seem missing or at best a coincidence. But stay open to the possibility that God may just be winking at you, that the Holy Spirit has come alongside you to stir your heart, to stir your faith, to remind you of the things that God has already done in your lives, and to remind you of the promises that God has placed on your lives. You are all children of God. And as God's children, you have received the promise that you will not be forsaken or abandoned. But God, through Christ Jesus, has sent the Holy Spirit to continue to teach us, to show us, to open our eyes, to stir in us the moving of God in our midst. It's easy not to see it. It's easy to think that you don't even need it. And it's easy to ignore it. But it never means that God is not with you, that God is not searching for you when lost, that God is not loving each of you. Like Philip, we may say that all we need is a clear sign, show us the Father. But then, like Philip, we may miss all the signs that are around us each day, pointing us to the presence of God in our midst. Now, I wish I could promise you that the people of God gathered here today who promise to walk alongside you on this journey will always get it right. That they will always have the right answers, that they will always do the thing that is best for all of the people of God. But they are human. They're going to make mistakes. What I ask of them and what I ask of you is that you ask for forgiveness when you've made those mistakes. And when others make a mistake, you extend that forgiveness to them. This body of Christ needs your voices, your passion for justice, your willingness to look out for those that we may rather not see. Help us to see the God winks through your eyes. Help us to see the Holy Spirit moving in our midst. Help us to see where the Spirit may be dragging us, kicking and screaming, but we just can't see it yet. Show us the Father. You have all seen God whenever you have seen the grace and love of God at work through Christ Jesus. You have seen God whenever the Holy Spirit walks alongside you. You've even seen God in timely messages on the side of a semi-truck. Together, let us continue to see and point out God moving in the lives of these confirmands today and in the lives of all of God's people gathered here. Amen.